That was lovely, Lucia, and without question, the theme of that number will be uppermost in many of our servicemen's thoughts. Now to the mother of a serviceman, Mrs. Elizabeth C. Wherry, whose home is in Jones County at Wyoming. Thousands of farm folks know Mrs. Elizabeth C. Wherry as the originator of Country Air column in Wallace's Farmer and Iowa Homestead. Country Air has been a sort of a narrative of what's happened on Iowa farms for the last 15 years. And your Jones County farm has sort of become every Iowa farm. Isn't that right, Mrs. Wherry?
Well, it's been purely personal from the very beginning. I loved blowing off steam about wet mittens on the warming oven, too many boys and puppies around the back door, and tired men that smelled of the cow barn. It was part and parcel of my life to watch the season change my landscape from the depressing ooze and mud of March to the thrill of plowing and planting and cultivating. Colors grew warmer with the weather. Rainbow hues of summer and the rich paisley color of autumn, and then winter snows and icy fantasies over my shrubbery.
Well, that's what I mean. It was personal to you, but yet everybody else liked it, too.
It sort of turned out that I talked about the things in my column that happened to be the stuff of life for every average farm woman. They were a common point of interest that brought a response. Sometimes it made it easier, and sometimes it made it harder, because I'd get self-conscious and try to write what I thought the farm women wanted to read, and then my stuff wasn't very successful. So I'd just forget what other people thought about and mutter to myself about my own troubles. Or I'd rejoice over the cool and quiet of my lawn in summer. Or I'd rave about an evening primrose or a bird song or a new book that I was reading, letting the chips fall where they would.
So you ended up with a combination of the things that folks like to read because things like that happened to them.
Something like that. The big and little jobs of applying mercurochrome to small cut fingers and dropping everything to dash to the blacksmith shop with a broken casting or to get a part about which I knew nothing but the name seemed to be a common experience of all farm women. There was a story about the winter's day that I steered the car up the pasture lane, a squealing 300-pound pig which had fallen on the ice tied on behind. The readers loved it.
I'll bet they did, too. And all through those years, your family has been a part of these columns, too. Kind of makes you Iowa mother in public, doesn't it?
I suppose it does. The boys tell me that they are surprised to find themselves well known to absolute strangers. But as part of my life, they just slammed the back screen door and got into Country Air. And as part of Country Air, everyone got to know them, as they did the M of the H.
The M of the H? I've always been just a little bit curious about the exact meaning of that.
Well, that's for the man of the house.
Oh,
and
sure.
You'd be surprised to know how many ideas my husband has given me for Country Air.
One of your sons is in the Army, too, isn't he, Mrs. Wherry?
Yes, Richard's at Belgium, the last we heard. When John left college and Richard graduated from high school, I decided the public had better know them by their names. So now Rich is referred to as Corporal Wherry.
And, of course, John is doing a masterful job in our own farm department here. Country Air must be quite a chronicle of your family's history, isn't it?
Yes, it is, Bill. It doesn't tell all the little tragedies and failures. But neither does it relate all the little triumphs and achievements which weren't important outside the family. An example of how much the scrapbooks of the column mean to us is caught in the last night of Rich's last furlough before he went overseas. He spent a couple of hours reading old Country Air columns, recalling the incidents reported and remembering more. One time, son John came home ill. He dragged out the clippings and chuckled to himself all through his convalescence. One time, the M of the H had driven me somewhere to read from my scrapbooks. I left them in the car. He was reading when I came. While I stopped to visit a bit. When I came back to the car, he had tears in his eyes. When I said, "What have you been reading?" he said, "Nothing much, just remembering." But now that we've moved to town, I find it's hard to write Country Air. I realize that being built about our home, even more than being built about our family life, it was built around our farm, troubles and all. Maybe, Bill, we'll go back to it someday.
Well, the farm really is a good place to live. I know our listeners really enjoyed hearing you just as much as they enjoy reading your Country Air column in Wallace's Farmer. And now to move along with the program, here's a... Well, hey, Bobby, what are you doing with that magazine?
Oh, just kind of looking and reading.
Reading what?
McCall's magazine. Here, Bill, take a look for yourself. Look at that. Now, there's something to look forward to. The taste of tomorrow, and how right they are. Butter. Rich golden butter. We're all looking forward to that.
Say, you can say that again, too. Butter and plenty of it.
You know, Bill, I like the way it's said here in this American Dairy Association message. Quote, "By and by, we'll live as Americans again. Freedom, peace, and the real things of life. There'll be plenty of golden butter with its matchless flavor. Through changing times and tastes, butter has endured. Nothing can ever take its place. America knows, and America will always remember, only butter can be butter.
That was Lucius Thorne singing, "I Miss Your Kiss." Now, we have another guest here. Perhaps one of the happiest mothers in Iowa on this day is Mrs. Clarence Sterry of Redfield, over in Dallas County. We're going to visit with her next, and I'm sure you'll all agree she does have reason to be joyous. Mrs. Sterry, what's the occasion for your jubilation?
Well, I'm pretty happy and thrilled, but my son Russell and his grandmother Sterry both share this happiness because it was just this past week that your WHO war correspondent, Herm Plambeck, in a broadcast from Germany, saw and interviewed on the air my husband, who has been a prisoner of war over there.
Say, that was wonderful news, and I remember that broadcast last week. Was that the first news you had of his liberation?
Yes, it was. We had word in January that he was listed as missing in action on December the 23rd. Then last month, we had word that he had been captured and was in a Nazi prison.
Then he probably was in a prison camp for about 5 months.
We presume so.
Well, that was quite a while to be in a prison camp, too. Did you have any mail from him while he was in the camp?
No, the only word was a telegram from the War Department saying their shortwave listening post had heard a German propaganda broadcast with a message from Clarence to me, and that was in March.
Mm-hmm. What branch of the Army was he in when he was captured?
He was in transportation, but we think he probably had been transferred to the infantry because his address had changed.
When did he first enter the Army, Mrs. Sterry?
December the 15th, 1943.
Was he in long before he went overseas?
Only 7 months.
Well, that wasn't so long, was it? He was employed in the Iowa Soya Company, where he was a millwright at Redfield, I believe, before he went into the war. But didn't you folks live on a farm before that?
Yes, but we moved to Redfield about 5 years ago.
Have you heard from Clarence since Mr. Plambeck got word of his liberation to you?
No, I haven't.
Well, I'll bet you were pretty relieved when you heard his voice over WHO on Herb's broadcast from Munich then.
Very much, after such a long suspense, but 5 months with no word at all.
Do you remember what he said that time?
Well, he said something about he hoped Russell and I were listening, and he thought that we were.
You were too, weren't you?
Yes, I'd say we were.
I know you're hoping he'll get home soon, just as thousands of other wives are hoping this same thing. By the way, Herb is going to broadcast direct from Germany tomorrow noon between 12:30 and 1 o'clock. And we expect he'll make other families very happy by bringing reports about their loved ones direct to our listening audience. Mrs. Sterry, this is your son over here, isn't it?
Yes, this is our son, Russell. He's in the 7th grade at the Redfield School.
Russell, how'd you feel to hear your dad on the radio from Germany?
Well, I was pretty thrilled. It was nice to hear his voice again.
Well, I'll bet you were, too. I don't suppose you got much studying done school that afternoon, did you?
No, I didn't.
Well, there's a lot of folks that shared the same thrill of hearing word from their loved ones along with Mrs. Sterry and Russell Sterry.
Well, we certainly appreciate WHO sending Mr. Planbecks to Europe, especially since he was able to get word home about Clarence, and I know all the other mothers and wives feels the same way.
Well, I know you were happy indeed, and I also know Herb Planbeck feels well repaid for the sacrifices he is making to send word home, just as Station WHO is justly proud in having him there, so that he can be of greater service to our listeners in reporting the war news to the folks at home. The only regrettable thing is that the European theater was so big that one man couldn't possibly be everywhere. We know Herb would be thrilled to be on our program here today, but he won't be home yet for some weeks. Representing him, however, is his mother, Mrs. H.T. Planbeck, who came to Des Moines from Scott County to be with us today. Mrs. Planbeck, you've just heard this splendid report from the Sterry family. You should feel more proudly about Herb than ever.
Well, thank you, I do.
Well, we all do here, too. But weren't you just a little bit hesitant about telling Herb that it was all right if he went to Europe to make this second trip during the war?
I'd rather see him stay home, but when he said it was all right with Francis, it was all right with me, too.
Well, I'm sure it would be, too. You're just a swell mother for a fellow like Herb to have. I might mention here, folks, that Francis is Herb's wife. Here at WHO, we are in very close touch with him through the miracles of radio and cables. But have you had many letters from him, Mrs. Planbeck?
We generally hear about from him once a week, but we'll never miss his broadcast.
Well, I'll bet you won't either, but if you don't miss him, you must put in some pretty long days. You know, he's on early sometimes and late at night other times.
Well, we wouldn't want to miss any of his broadcasts.
Well, you probably will be at your radio again then tomorrow noon.
Yes.
Well, I'll bet you will, too. And Mrs. Planbeck, before you go, here's a cable we just received from Herb in which he expresses Mother's Day good wishes to you, to Francis's mother, Mrs. Grover Hahn, and to all of the mothers of boys in the European Theater of War.
Thanks, Don, and the symphony. And well, friends, this brings us to the end of the 418th Corn Belt Farm Hour. Tune in again next Saturday at this same time when Bill Diamond, Lucia Thorne, Don Hovey, and the orchestra will all be back with more new program features for your listening pleasure. And in the meantime, remember, tomorrow's special Mother's Day broadcast at 12:30, direct from Germany by our farm editor, Herb Planbeck. Now, that time again, 12:30 o'clock tomorrow. And remember, next Saturday, your hosts on the Corn Belt Farm Hour again will be the Iowa Dairy Industry Commission and the American Dairy Association. This program was produced in the studios of WHO Des Moines. A quarter minute.